Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. As some of you probably know, there is a decades-long tradition here at Grace Church of having a guest preacher on Good Friday. That means that I have never preached a Good Friday sermon here at Grace Church. And this morning I'm going to do just that. I know you're thinking, why in the name of all that is holy would the rector preach a Good Friday sermon on the sixth Sunday of Easter? Some of you may even be thinking, Good Friday? I'm deep in the throes of planning my Ascension Day for Thursday. Well, it's probably not most of you, but still, what does today have to do with Good Friday? Now, the crucifixion has historically been one of the great wonderments of followers of Jesus. Why was Jesus crucified? Did he have to die? Was his death God's explicit wish, or simply the result of a cruel and even murderous Roman occupation? Questions of time. Many early Christians were not sure what to make of the crucifixion, and so in a sense, they literally did not make anything of it. By that I mean that early Christians often avoided making representations of the crucifixion, or even the cross in its simplest form, the sign that is today the central symbol of the Christian faith. If you go to Rome and visit the underground catacombs to which Christians fled in the first three centuries of the faith in order to escape persecution, you'll see Christian themes painted on the walls of the catacombs. Jesus as the Good Shepherd, carrying a lamb on his shoulders. The Greek letters chi and rho, the first two letters of the Greek word for Christ. The Magi adoring the newborn Jesus, and even Moses striking the rock with his staff to create water in the desert as a symbol of the baptism that is to come. But what you won't see is many crosses were painted to the crucifixion. Why not? While these early Christians didn't leave messages scribbled on the catacomb walls saying to future generations, here's the reason why we didn't paint the crucifixion. And we can only speculate. Likely reason is that the crucifixion was then still an actively used punishment for common criminals. And also because those Christians were still trying to make sense of Christ's death, as we often still do today. There is, of course, no denying crucifixion. It's front and center in all four Gospels, and even the first century Jewish historian Josephus mentions it in his Antiquities of the Jews. Such was the confusion and discomfort among early Christians about the crucifixion that one early group of them, called the ascetics, preferred to think that Jesus was not human at all, but only appeared so, such that he only seemed to have been crucified. In fact, this belief that Jesus only appeared to have been crucified is central to what Islam teaches about Jesus. The Quran says in the fourth chapter, or surah, in fact, they did not kill Jesus, nor did they crucify him, but it appeared to them as if they did. So for Muslims, too, who believe that Jesus was the Messiah, the idea of the crucifixion was troubling, to put it mildly. What have Christians made of the crucifixion since the days of the catacombs? Well, theologians have over the centuries had several theories about why Jesus died on the cross, all of them having to do with atonement, literally at-one-ment, reconciling or bringing together of humanity and its maker. There's the ransom theory of atonement, which Christ's sacrifice on the cross ransoms humanity back from Satan, who had held humanity captive in a sense, since Adam and Eve took that apple. Or the related Christus Victor theory, wherein Jesus, through his resurrection, defeats evil. Then there's recapitulation theory, wherein Jesus, through his sacrifice, makes right that which Adam got wrong. There's also satisfaction theory, penal substitution theory, and moral influence theory, unlike the others I've never heard of. Some of these theories are more prevalent in certain denominations, and even within specific churches, individual Christians will point to one theory over others and say, that makes sense to me. In light of this, I can understand why Jesus died on the cross. I still haven't answered the question I posed at the beginning of this morning's sermon. Why would I talk about the crucifixion of Jesus on the sixth Sunday of Easter? Isn't that a bit like bundling yourself up in a ski park in July? You really don't need to be doing it. Of all the atonement theories I've heard about the death of Christ on the cross, nothing speaks to me more directly than Jesus' words from today's gospel reading. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. Jesus was more than a rabbi, a teacher, though he was that. A teacher instructs, lectures, even tutors. But Jesus not only gave his teaching to his disciples, to his friends, he lived it. This does not, I should point out, contradict the other theories of the atonement I mentioned earlier. But it is the best way that I have found to make sense of what Christ did on the cross. Biblical scholar Osvaldo Vinha sees a connection between this understanding of the crucifixion that we get in today's gospel reading from John and the Last Supper we have in that gospel. Because unlike the other gospels, in John's version of the Last Supper, Jesus does not institute the Lord's Supper, where Christ's body is the broken bread given to and for us. Rather, he shows loving kindness to his disciples by washing and drying their feet, even those of Judas who betrayed him. Vinha says, I often wonder what the church would look like if its distinctive sign would have been the towel and the basin rather than the cross and the empty tomb. Instead of redemptive suffering, you would have love, giving of oneself for the other. I'm not sure Vinha is suggesting, and I'm sure I'm not suggesting, that we replace all our crosses with images of towels and basins. Perhaps it's helpful when Good Friday comes around next year, or any day of the year, for that matter, to connect Christ's sacrifice on the cross with the words we hear in today's gospel reading from Jesus. No one has greater love than this, lay down one's life for one's friend. Might be worth connecting that great sacrifice that we remember on Good Friday with the loving kindness that Jesus showed his friends by washing their feet. An act that we remember and reenact each year at our Maundy Thursday service less than 24 hours earlier. Because that too is an example worth remembering any day.